Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
8:15, 8:16, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Ronald Surpass, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent, head of the Nashville City Police and Washington State Police. We like to pick his brain every week. How you doing, Chief?
I am wonderful, Tommy. I understand your ad line just said tons of fun.
Uh-huh.
That's still accurate.
Well, it's 157 pounds of fun.
That's great.
But I've fun above my weight, if that makes sense.
Oh, I saw what you did there.
Yeah.
Very clever. Very clever.
There you go. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about crime and juvenile crime. I think I saw yesterday that they had 8 juvenile homicides at this time, this year, and as opposed to like 5 last year or something. Is that anything significant statistically? And the other question I wanted to ask you is that you always talk about perception being the leading thing when it comes to crime, but how do you crunch that or justify that with when we see juvenile crime? It just seems like it's getting worse. This is what I'm trying to say, Chief. It seems like it's getting worse with the carjacking of the Brennan sous chef and the death there. It seems like we're starting to go into an area that we were there before and we don't want to go back. Thoughts?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. First off, you know, any murder is horrific, and a juvenile murder, if it's any more horrific, it is more horrific. And going from 5 to 8 is nearly a 50% increase. Here's what it is, Tommy, and you're so right about this. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. I wrote a little guest op for the Times Picayune. People feel crime from what their friends, neighbors, and families tell them. They don't particularly trust politicians, and they do get some news from local news.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is when these kinds of events explode into the consciousness of the community, it further confirms to them that maybe they're not as safe as they're being told they are. That's a very backwards position for police departments to be in, because on the one hand, the numbers of crimes that the police know about may be going down, and that's always good news. But the numbers of crimes that go unreported, for example, in urban area America, the government just gave us new data that suggests 32% of violent crimes in urban America go unreported to the police. So you can see the juxtaposition that causes you to ask the most important question. Well, if they're telling us crime is going down, but we're seeing these events, how can those two things coexist?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there can be two things true at one time. One, the number of reports that the police discover versus those that go unreported are a dramatic difference in time and space, and that's why people still feel unsafe.
Even the
New Orleans Crime Coalition poll only suggests that a little over 50% of New Orleans feels safe or very safe. The rest of New Orleans feels unsafe or very unsafe. So it's not something to take very lightly that people, almost half of New Orleanians, still feel unsafe or very unsafe.
So when it comes to...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Violent crime like the kid that got killed in Algiers the other day. I don't mean to disrespect him at all. I don't have his name in front of me. But or juvenile murders. Is there really any way that the police can intervene and stop something like that from happening? Or is that just, I mean, then you go back to long-term solutions a long, 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 long time ago about education, this, that, the other thing. And even at that, some people are just going to break bad, right?
I think you're right on all three counts. One, the police can do very little unless it's a wraparound support system of other important social events in a child's life. Families, school, friendships, some would say religion. I would say religion. These are the kind of core principles that result in something referred to as virtual supervision, so that a child, when they're 16, 17 years old, they feel a tug back to what is normal. In the case of juveniles in New Orleans or anywhere in the country killing each other over these horrible things, it's likely that there's been so many breakdowns that the police are just one cog in the wheel. So, no, we can't count on the police to solve the reason it happened. Hopefully we can count on the police to find the offenders and bring them to justice. And, you know, there is something to be said, Tommy. This has been going on since the 1960s and 70s. Ethnographers in the 1960s and 70s were finding five and six generations of single parent family households in many of the urban cities, one in particular, Chicago. And these are the kind of circumstances that, whether sociologists agree or disagree, I think they all agree, a single family fed household is usually not a good outcome for children. It can be a good outcome, but it's not usually a good outcome. And then you end up with these young people roaming the streets at night with nobody wondering where they are, nobody caring where they are, or nobody being able to stop them from where they are.
Young man's name is Jerron Johnson. I just want to pay all due respect to him. He was 17 years old and to his family. But I saw a story where his mother was afraid to go on TV and be interviewed because she was afraid of, I don't know, some kind of retaliation, I guess. But her son had been murdered. What does that tell you as a criminologist about that?
Well, what it tells me as a cop, first, is that people are afraid, and no matter how much you tell them crime is going down, that family will never be unafraid even before this horrific murder. Mm-hmm. When people tell you in a sentence that they're afraid of talking for fear of retaliation from the community, believe it. I believe it as a police officer, as a criminologist. I absolutely believe they're telling the truth. Go back, Tommy. As recently as the 1990s in New Orleans, retaliation was occurring in the middle of the day in housing projects where witnesses were being gunned down in the middle of the street.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't go away, and it doesn't change the way people feel. So this question comes down to the same thing we started. If the police and the government think the numbers of crimes they know about are going down, good thing, talk about it, be happy about it. But don't ever confuse that with the number of crimes in a community. Don't ever confuse that with the number of crimes in a community.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We'll come back talking to Ronald Surpass as we do every Wednesday morning, 8:22, Traffic Now, WWL. 8:27, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about crime, as we always do with Ronald Surpass, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, been on the job as a law enforcement officer for a long, long time. Not that he is anymore. He's a professor now. But, Chief, when it comes to either the 17-year-old that was murdered or the sous chef that was carjacked and murdered, picking up his son, and we talked to Ralph Brennan yesterday about Carl Morgan, is there anything the National Guard could have done had they been in town to prevent any of that? Or would it be about the National Guard doing stuff that would free up police? But could the police have really prevented anything like that?
Well, it's more of the second point and the third point. The second point is I've worked with the National Guard as the chief of the New Orleans Police Department, the chief of the Nashville Department, and the chief of the Washington State Police. The National Guard serve as a valuable resource to provide time and energy for police officers who are empowered to investigate, detain, and arrest to be pulled away from some of those more visibility duties. Criminals are cowards, Tommy. If they see a visible presence, they will avoid it as much as possible. Mm-hmm. To the issue of the horrific murder of the juvenile and the horrific murder of the father, those are opportunistic crimes. The guy in the middle of the day sees a victim, doesn't see anything else around him that dissuades him from trying to take that man's car, and at some point during taking his car, he decided to shoot him and kill him. These are the kind of cowardly acts that occur no matter who's in charge, no matter who's around, no matter how much is there, because it wasn't there at the moment that man made that decision to rob and kill that other man. That's one of the real problems.
So then why the ebb and flow? Because the societal conditions are the same. The opportunities are still the same. Why the ebb and flow?
Ebb and flow is this, Tommy. In the United States of America, less than 1% of the entire population of this country is incarcerated. Mm-hmm. In other words, we've always known that it's a very small number of people who are likely to reoffend in very predictable places in a community. And when the police arrest those people with good cases and the courts put them away, they reduce the number of motivated offenders. That's the key issue. Tommy, listen, less than 1% of this country is incarcerated. That's how few people choose to be these type of offenders. And we find them, and we got to keep them behind bars.
And from what I read, the person who was involved in the carjacking perhaps should have still been in prison or jail, and who knows what happens with Carl Morgan. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Well, I guess we'll never know because he's dead. I guess they'll do some background investigation. Thank you, Ronald Surpass. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Deuce McAllister about the Saints, their first win, and the likelihood of getting another one this weekend against the Patriots in the Dome right now. It's time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.